That's a lot of pressure, though, as a hairstylist sometimes.
Unless you've been doing their hair for 7 years.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, seriously, you'd just be giving her a mullet.
But I said yes. Crazy. We always have to keep passion for what we do in some way, shape, or form.
Yo.
What's up, man?
What's happening, dude? So, which episode is this? 17?
17.
Man, indeed. We're getting up there, bro.
Yeah, feels good.
We're it teenagers. Does feel good. Yeah, totally.
We're about to graduate.
Dude, we're about to go legal.
Yeah.
That'll be a big episode. Deal. Yeah. We should do something we could only do if we're 18 next time.
We'll do some scratch-off tickets.
Scratch-off. There you go. Yeah. I was going to say we could smoke a cigarette, but like you have to be 21 now.
21, yeah.
That's crazy.
We're going to have to wait a few episodes.
It's been a while since I bought a pack of cigarettes. But yeah, like,
good for you.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there was decades of cigarette smoking in my life, and so I'm a very proud ex-smoker.
Yeah,
but,
welcome to the bright side.
Yeah, so, but anyway, yeah, we'll get a scratch-off ticket. Yeah. I got one today, actually. I got a scratch-off ticket.
I feel like you have, like, a secret scratch-off.
Shut
like...
up. You saw me walking over from the gas station.
I didn't at all. I just feel like every once in a while, I'm like, there he goes again.
Yeah, no, I do. I buy one every... So if you're listening to this episode, our salon, we have this little, like, country store thing that's, like, next door to our building. And you have to walk away from the good area of town. You have to walk towards the bad area of town to get to it. And we call it the stab and grab.
Totally. And it is, man.
It's
awesome. Technically it's called the Ash Pantry.
The Ash Pantry.
Yeah.
Which is funny because it's Asheville. But if it wasn't Asheville, it'd just be
the Ash
Ashes.
A sketchy little bodega. It's one of my favorite spots.
It's a great spot. What's the guy that works there? It's like Raj or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
He's a Middle Eastern guy. He's great though. But I walk in there and it's like, hey buddy. And I always get a pack of gum or an energy drink or something, you know, whatever I get. And he's like, you want a ticket today?
Yeah.
You want a ticket?
He knows.
And I'm like, nope. No, I don't.
Not today.
But you know how it is, man. We get a lot of cash tips. And sometimes I'm like, you know what? I'm feeling lucky. And like I wasn't ever into scratch off tickets until a couple of years ago when my girls were like, get us a scratch off ticket when I walked into a gas station one day. And they just loved, like, I got like a couple $1 tickets and they just loved scratch them off so much that I'm like, now I get one every once in a while, but it's only if I'm feeling lucky. And today I actually felt lucky and I got one.
And how'd it go?
It didn't go. Yeah. It was terrible, man. It was a double buck shot zero.
Yeah, you know? So that's one of those weird things. Like when you're feeling lucky and then you pull the trigger and buy the ticket, does it squash your feeling of luck for the rest of the day?
100%. I felt down. I was like destroyed in my life.
And that's why gambling is a negative thing, right?
Totally, yeah. So that didn't work out well for me. But anyway.
Doesn't matter. We're scratching off next one.
Yeah, we'll get a scratch off next time. I don't think I'm going to spend as much money on this one as I did on the one I did today. Or on the next one is the one I did. I actually bought a $10 ticket today.
So, we'll set a budget.
Yeah. All right, man. Whew. So we haven't recorded in a while. So this is like, you know, we're coming back after a couple weeks. Last week, I wasn't feeling all that hot. I had caught a couple bad nights of sleep, so I didn't want to come on the podcast. I thought I'd be a dud if I did. So anyway, we went and drank a beer anyway and didn't record, which was cool. That's fine.
Yeah, you know? No, it was good. And there's this weird like feeling of energy now that we're back. Like we just had the best pregame.
Yeah,
because like we always pregame beforehand, like we jump on the mics, get the levels right, and we just talk about stuff that we wouldn't talk about on the podcast.
And we probably shouldn't record, but we record it anyway.
Yeah, we'll get in trouble for all the stuff on those one day. You're gonna have to destroy those tapes.
Yeah, what tapes? I don't know what you're talking about.
I actually was just thinking about how funny it is that I called them tapes.
Tapes.
it's just a digital file. Yeah. It's not a tape at all.
Do you know what NFTs are? Have you heard about that? Okay, we'll talk about that another time.
Next pregame.
I'm sure some people know what I'm talking about, but that's the new technology coming up is you can actually, Kings of Leon today I read is releasing an album and you can pay for it like basically in tokens, like in Bitcoin type of thing, you know?
Well, 50 Cent did that several years ago. He released an album that you could only purchase with Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And I remember the reason that I heard about it is I read an article, I think it was in Rolling Stone, where, I mean, 50 Cent kind of like famously went bankrupt. Mm-hmm. Like it was well known, like in his videos, he would have like private jets and Bentleys. Just
unbelievable if your name's 50 Cent.
I know. You know? Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense if your name's 50 Cent. You're not good at managing money, but yeah, he would like rent things for his videos to look like he was rich. But anyway, he had this album that he put out and it was only available with Bitcoin, and then he went broke, and then there was a like forensic audit of his finances, and they found out he had like $11 million in Bitcoin he didn't know about or something. It's nuts.
Dude, I've been digging deep. I'm trying to find that in my forensic accounting. Yeah. It's not working out for me, though.
Yeah, yeah, same.
Yeah. So, anyway, man, we've got some fresh beers today. Definitely. So we kind of went all in. Last time might have been a little boring. So this time we tried to get something a little bit different. What are you drinking?
Yeah, well, I was like right as you hit record, I was like, damn it, because I opened this beer. So I apologize for no crack on this guy. Mm-hmm. But I bought this because it's called You're a Towel. And it literally has like a crumpled up towel on the front of it.
Awesome.
Which is really weird. It's out of Charlotte, Divine Barrel Brewing, which is kind of a cool logo. They have a like a wooden barrel with a halo over it.
Nice.
But like I was kind of torn on what beer I wanted to buy. And just the more I looked at this, I was like, we probably deal with towels as much as anybody does professionally. Yeah. You know, like I probably touched 15 to 20 towels today.
Yeah.
You know, at work. So yeah, I got this You're a Towel. It's tasty. It's an IPA, Citra, Mosaic, and Eldorado hops. But I'm not going to lie, it was the 16-ounce Tallboy can, and just the stark whiteness of it with this towel on the front. The towel's blue. It looks sick. It's delicious.
I'm a firm believer that there should be no such thing as a 12-ounce can.
Yeah.
Get rid of them, guys. Like, let's go 16-ounce on the cans.
Stop wasting our time.
Stop wasting our time. It's bullshit. It, you know, like, if the cost of bottling something or canning it, you know, is it adds up for every beer that you have, we might as well just put more in each beer. You know what I mean? It makes sense.
Well, yeah, you put in 25% more. That's 25% less waste in recycling.
That's what I'm saying.
That's how I justify it.
All right, buddy. Well, I went with a St. Louis brewery. So this is Perennial Artisan Ales out of St. Louis, Missouri. I don't remember the last time I drank a St. Louis craft beer, so this is great. It's actually just called Pils. It's a hoppy pilsner. It's a 5.0% alcohol. So so I can hammer these things. But, man, this thing is a good-looking beer. It's really cool. Kind of look like, I don't know. I don't even know what that looks like.
I like the font.
Yeah.
The font on the Pils is cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So anyway, here, let me crack this since you ruined it.
Fail.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. All right.
That was gratifying.
Yeah. Long distance. Cheers, homie.
Cheers.
Cheers. So like usual, we're recording from the basement, and we actually sit on a sofa that is shaped like an L, and he's on one leg and I'm on the other one.
I'm on the short part of the sectional.
Yep. I'm actually on the sleeper end. So anyway, we're so far away, we can't cheers. So it's all good.
We do need to name the studio at some point.
We should name it. You know, when I was in college, I actually moved back in with my mom for a little while, and I waited tables at a restaurant called Sam's Neat's Tavern, and it was legendary. And my two best friends, Sean and Wes, I miss you guys, hate you at the same time, but I love you. they worked there too, and it was literally, you know, that movie Waiting. Have you seen that?
Oh,
it was epic. That movie. Yeah. That's where we worked. And we would get off work, and we were all 19, so we would go buy beer with a fake ID and then come back to my house, and my mom didn't care. So we would just party in my room, and like our friends would come over, we'd party in the room, and we called it the Speakeasy. So
yeah, I mean, it's a great name. Yeah. I part of me wants to call this the Dungeon.
The Dungeon,
But I feel like I'm stealing it from the Dungeon family.
Well, I'm from Atlanta, so it doesn't bother me that much.
Yeah, it just seems wrong. It seems unoriginal. Also, it's very not dungeony. It's bright down here.
Yeah, it's all, yeah, it's bright, lots, it's clean. Lots of off-whites.
All the off-whites.
All the off-whites.
All the eccentric instruments hanging on the wall.
Well, you know, it's and we also have the color-coded books over on the shelf, you know? That's Jocelyn's contribution over there.
Maybe we should call it the Rainbow Room.
The Rainbow Room. That could work.
That'll give people the wrong idea.
Maybe something with the antlers here.
Yeah.
I don't know. We got a big...
We could call it the stag room.
The stag room. I don't know. That's not bad.
That's not bad, but it might be a little a little too tough.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. We'll figure it out. We'll come up with something. We'll figure it out. But it's a warm spot, though. Lots of instruments.
Yeah. It's good space. Good space.
So I'm going to go right to it, man. I kind of feel like this dude, Morgan Wallen, has killed... Sorry. He's killed the mullet, man. It's dead.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I mean, I think that Morgan Wallen's career is dead. I mean, that's what I would confirm.
It sounds like it's thriving, actually.
Yeah, which is the sick part.
Yeah, like, I know. It's unfortunate.
I don't know. Like, I'm just going to assume that many people out there listening do know. I didn't know who Morgan Wallen was until... It was right around the holidays, turn of the year. He was the musical guest on SNL. Mm-hmm. And he's just like this kind of douchey pop country guy. But one of the things, I was like, this dude's got a sick mullet. And I mean, he is like almost like Billy Ray Cyrus vibes on the mullet. Like curly in the back, really boxed out on the sides.
Yeah. Well, if you took the back off, it would just be a dorky ass haircut.
Yeah, for sure. But then it was also curly. So I was like, all right, this dude's got a mullet, but it's almost like that redneck mullet.
Yeah.
And then there were these recordings that came out recently where he's dropping the N-bomb and acting like a real fucking dirtbag. And it was weird because he had his download spiked. And as far as I'm concerned about humanity, I would like to think that people were like, I don't know who this is, so I'm going to look him up. And that's why there was the spike in his downloads, not because America is a bunch of racist assholes. It's hard to say, but like, I think that he was not single-handedly going to bring the mullet back. So I don't know if he could kill it.
Yeah.
But when we first started talking about this, it was like when a bad person or when somebody does a bad thing, it can ruin a hairstyle. The one that came up for me was how Hitler ruined a facial hairstyle.
I know. I mean, it's a super solid, good looking facial hairstyle too. I mean, the center mustache is really, really, I mean, it's a fucking handsome look, man.
Well, I think for us, it was always a like negative, bad look, but you have to remember that like 100 years ago, 100 years plus now, like it was the Charlie Chaplin.
It's the upper lip soul saver. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, the flavor saver for the upper lip.
Yeah, it was the soul patch before it retired and moved south.
Yeah, I mean, and if some like crazy like white supremacist guy that killed like millions of people had a soul patch, then nobody else would ever have
a soul
patch.
Nobody would have it. So like I understand like him killing that, because we even joked about like Michael Jordan couldn't bring it back. Like Michael Jordan tried to rock that. What, it was like late 90s, early 2000s.
It was weird.
It's like, because no matter what, it's the Hitler. Yeah. So I'm not going to give Morgan Wallen enough status to say that like a mullet's going to be referred to as the Wallen and you can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Because I feel like mullets have been threatening to come back for a long time. I've always been a huge fan. Mm-hmm. But they're trashy as fuck. I mean, there's no way around it.
That one's trashy as fuck. There's not a lot of style going on. My opinion is this, man. If you can cut the entire thing with clippers, it's not cool. It's just not cool, man. Like, I think you could. Like, basically, you just leave the back and put a 4 on the sides and then a 6 on the top. You know? I mean, that's it.
And even the baseline, the perimeter of the back, take the guard off and just cut a straight line.
Yeah.
I mean, you could literally do the whole thing with clippers, which
easily,
like, and I don't want to say anything negative to like any barbers out there because, you know, but to me, when it comes to like the craft of hairstyling or like building flowing shapes, like it can't all just be clipper work. You got to get in there with scissors and do your thing. But there are barbers out there that just use clippers all day that fucking slay it. But if you have a mullet, it needs to be texturized and rock and roll.
Well, it
and
needs
cool.
to be modernized, and his is not.
His is
straight like, you know, Billy Ray Cyrus from the old days. And I feel like, and I think I've said this before, I feel like he's got the mullet that he's trying to get, like, be funny with.
Yeah, it's almost like a joke. It's like a wig.
Not, yeah, it's like not a style wig. Move. It's like a, hey, look at my funny mullet look. You know what I mean? Which is... It's fucking douchey, man.
Yeah,
like, and I think that's what that guy's all about is attention. He just wants attention, you know? So there's this dude, he's a bluegrass guy named Billy Strings. Have you ever heard of Billy Strings?
No, but that's a really cool name.
Well, this dude is one badass guitar player that does a lot of bluegrass. But he also covers like a bunch of Grateful Dead stuff. Like, I really like him. He's really cool. But, you know, he's like gauged out of ears and like tatted up and all this stuff. But he has the best mullet right now. It's like really super textured straight bang in the front, you know. And then the, like this, like it's a very modern, very cool mullet. I think it's just like that's a mullet for me, you know. Well,
yeah, a mullet can make a massive statement.
Yeah.
Like, in such a positive way. Like, I used to joke that the word fashion mullet was the ultimate like oxymoron.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's really not, because you can, like, you're going to be ridiculed if you have a mullet.
Yeah.
So if you can get one that works and you can pull it off, that's kind of by definition what fashion is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a mullet's edgy as hell, and I absolutely love them.
Have you ever heard of the golden ratio before?
Yeah, like the ratio of fee.
Yeah, Fibonacci code or whatever.
Yeah.
Fibonacci series.
Well, the Fibonacci sequence.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is a little different, but they're in the same. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, that Aston Martin actually uses the golden ratio to design their cars. So, like, the front of the car to the middle of the car to the rear of the car all equals out according to that golden ratio. And it's the same thing they've used to describe, like, beautiful people's faces and, like, how the proportions are. We need to, as a team, as humble hairdressers, attack this whole golden ratio thing with the mullet and find out what the perfect ratio is for the mullet.
We could definitely figure that out, because you can pull it up pretty easily. It's like 1 to it's like 1 to 1.8 or something. I'm probably way wrong.
Yeah, no.
But it's something like that.
No, I'm with you.
It's I think like what they do for flat screens.
Yeah,
is they use that. Where the Fibonacci sequence is a little different. The Fibonacci is 1 plus 2 equals 3, 2 plus 3 equals 5, 3 plus 5 equals 8, so on and so forth.
Yeah. But it matches up. It provides that ratio somehow.
Yeah, they support each other. I saw a thing back in the day where there was a car company that used the Fibonacci sequence to design the rims for the car. So when they hit a certain speed, it would visually look like the wheel stopped spinning and started going backwards.
Have you seen the spiral that is the Fibonacci thing?
Yeah.
I wonder if they could do that into like a wheel. That would be cool.
So yeah, no, that's actually a really good point though. Like you said, we could have like the ratio of fee.
Yeah.
The shorter be in the top, the longer be in the back.
To figure out what the perfect length in the back is, really. You know?
Well, it would just be a ratio. So, like, depending on how long you want the back, this is how long the top needs to be.
Yeah.
I will volunteer to be a model for that.
Okay. We're going to do that. That's going to be definitely on our high priority list.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure. That'll be good. So, I mean, well, we've got to perm your hair.
Not, I was going like, to say, when the new with wave the non, comes out.
Yeah, new wave, which is the Goldwell thing. So it's not a perm. I want to point that out. But we're going to do that first.
It's a texture service.
Yeah, so it's a waving service. So we're going to soften your bonds up and then give you a little bit of texture.
And we'll call it the mullet of fee.
Yeah, the mullet of fee.
Yeah.
That's going to be
something. Sounds European. I'm excited about dope. It.
Yeah. I'm excited. So, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I agree. Maybe the mullet's not dead, but man, he put a
but
dent.
More than mullet is.
Yeah. That douchebag is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah. I had to bring that up. And, you know, I mean, honestly, man, I'm like not the biggest Miley Cyrus fan. I mean, her music's fine, blah, blah, blah. She's cool, whatever. But, like, I feel like she also took the mullet and kind of tried to play it off as like a funny thing and like didn't like almost like she talked about it in a way. Like I heard her on Joe Rogan or something talking about her mullet and it was more like, hey, look at me. I got a mullet. Isn't it funny looking type of thing. And I was like, I just didn't get the right vibe off of that.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, like she literally has some like big shoes to fill because her dad's famous for a mullet. Yeah. You know what I mean? So. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I like her mullet. Like, I think her
mullet. No, I like the look of her mullet. Yeah, totally.
But, like, I feel like Miley Cyrus is one of those people that, like, if you probably really got into it and really got to know her and study her, it's probably really fucking cool.
Yeah.
She's, like, had this weird life and, you know, has overcome all types of shit. But I just feel like she almost shouldn't have a mullet just because of who her dad is and the fame of it. The other thing that's kind of weird about her mullet is it's almost just like a micro shag.
Yeah,
it's
it really
just
is.
Like, because kind of a mullet is just like a super short shag with the sides removed.
Yeah.
And shags have been so hot for a year plus now. Mm-hmm. Like I can see a tether between those.
Yeah. I guess the way I feel about mullets too, is that like, they can't be too business in the front. If they're too business in the front, man, like it's just not cool to me. Like yeah. It's gotta be a little bit party in the front too.
Yeah. You know? You should have some party in the front. I agree. Yeah. Cause if you're all business up front.
Yeah. It's too Morgan Wallen, man.
Yeah. You can't be all party in the back.
Yeah.
No way. That's like a business being, like a cover for the mafia.
Yeah.
All business up front, too much party in the back. It's yeah. not going to be sustainable.
Yeah. If you can put it in a ponytail, look me straight ahead and I can't even tell that it's what's going on yeah. in the back and you just look like it's a normal haircut. That's not a cool mullet.
That isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. By definition.
Give me some scissors. Let me cut that ponytail right off.
I could not agree more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, man, I actually had my first client that came to me this week because of the podcast. I thought that was really cool.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, actually. That was really cool. That. She kind of felt like I felt a little bit of pressure. I'm like, dang, I feel like I need like to do a little routine here, you know?
Goosebumps followed by sweat.
Yeah, she was awesome though, man. And she had the raddest hair. So she came in and she showed me pictures of what she wanted. Like she had pictures of herself with the haircut before and it was super duper cute. She looked exactly like Milena Vaintrub. You know who that is? Or Milana Vaintrub. No, she's the girl from the AT&T commercials. You know, the real cute girl. She's got like a short, like French bob type of thing.
Does it have bangs?
Bangs, yeah.
Yeah,
straight bangs.
I totally know what you're talking about.
Yeah, really, really, really
like,
cute.
Like Flo from Progressive's cute younger sister?
Yeah. She's,
I know who you're talking
about. Yeah, the Flo of AT&T.
Right,
and,
totally.
Yeah, so she was really cool and really fun. And we had a blast, man. Her hair was great, man. This awesome wave to it. Just really fun. She was super cool. Her mom is a hairstylist and always cut her hair. So, and she's had basically the same haircut for a long time. So it was a really fun conversation to have with her. Yeah.
That is really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool, man. So I don't know. This podcast is really not that big at all. Like, you know, we got a couple of listeners here and there, but it's kind of fun when somebody comes in and they're like, you know, I've been listening to you. And
right. And it might be the only time.
Yeah, it might be. It'll
probably never might happen be. Again.
So that was awesome, pretty though. Cool. So that was fun. Dude, you were talking the other day about some crazy bang situation with your client. She cut her own bangs.
Yeah, she did. She yeah. did. And like, I'm going to say this is like one of my more like eccentric clients anyway. Just her fashion sense is out there.
Yeah.
She always has so many like layers of clothes on, but she makes it look really cool. She's a retired nurse, but she has this like cool, edgy thing where like, I feel like she's going to tell me about like an unreleased Nine Inch Nails track I've never heard of, nice. You know, even though she's 60.
Yeah.
So yeah, but she had this crazy looking fringe that I was certain that I did not cut. And she's never cut her hair before, but I wouldn't put it past her. So she sat down and I asked her about it. We went through the consultation and I said, I just noticed like your fringe is a little, you know, looking a little asymmetrical on this one side. And she goes, yeah, I the weirdest thing, it's never happened to me before. About a week ago, I woke up in the middle of the night and I was sleep cutting my hair.
It
blew my mind. I was like, are you joking me? Yeah. And she said, no. And I said, are you a sleepwalker? Like, is this a thing? Cause you hear about people like sleep eating and doing all these things. And she said that she had like once upon a time, she had taken some Ambien and maybe did a sleepwalking, but she assured me, she's like, no, I did nothing, but I woke up. And I literally had a pair of scissors in my hand and was cutting my own bangs.
Oh my God, how crazy would that be?
Yeah, it was like...
That'd be scary. I would want to lock my scissors up from then on out.
Well, yeah, luckily it was the bangs.
Yeah,
you know, totally. Like, luckily it wasn't something, you know, like a toe. Like, I'm just trying to trim my pinky toe off, doctor. Yeah. And I slept cut my pinky toe off.
That's intense, man.
But yeah, it was crazy. I mean, luckily it was one of those opportunities where it was like, let's just hyper texturize these things and make them really cool. So she ended up with like a funky little baby fringe that I probably wouldn't have cut. And she was happy with it. And I was happy with it. But still to this day, I feel like, you know, when I'm a retired old guy, one day I'm going to be like, let me tell you this story about the time my client sleep cut her fringe. I mean, what a weird thing.
Well, it reminded me of the time that when I, you know, way back in the day, I had to have surgery on my leg. So I had to take a bunch of pain meds. And so the doctors gave me Ambien so I could sleep at night. So if you take a bunch of pain meds, it's hard to sleep at night, like after surgery. So I was taking this Ambien for a while, and like I went through like, you know, all the therapy and stuff for the leg, and I was feeling better, but I was still taking the Ambien at night. And one morning I woke up and I just got up and went out to my living room, and in the middle of the living room was a empty box, styrofoam wrapping, and a new lamp just sitting there. And I was like, what the hell? And unbeknownst to me, I took an Ambien the night before, and I went up to the Target, which was literally right next to my house. It was like, you could literally like walk there. It was like 200 yards, well, maybe.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, exactly. There. And I had bought a lamp, and I came home. And that was the last time I've ever taken an Ambien before.
You had no memory.
Nothing. No memory at all. And it was horrible, man. It had a wicker basket at the bottom for magazines.
Ugly as hell.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Did you keep it?
No. No, I put it right back in the box, man. I took it right back. You should have kept it. What was horrible, too, is like bringing that back and like looking around the store like, I wonder if any of these people saw me do this last night, you know?
Dude, you should have kept the lamp and put the Ambien in the base of the lamp to keep you away from it.
Yeah, sure. Like, totally. I'm pretty sure I threw it away, though. Yeah,
like, leave it in the corner of the room as a reminder.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. Like, totally had no recollection of doing that at all.
I went through a little sleepwalking phase, but it was never, like, drug-induced. It was just some legit sleepwalking. And I remember my mom telling me a story one time where she got up in the middle of the night, had to go to the bathroom. Went to the bathroom, and she was like, oh, weird, the light's on. And she went to open the door, and the door was stuck and hit something. So she was pushing on the door, and I was laid out in my underwear on a beach towel on the floor of the bathroom. My foot was blocking the door, and my mom came in and said, are you okay? And I said, you're blocking my light. And apparently I was tanning on the floor of the bathroom. So, I mean,
that's probably the best sun you could get in Wisconsin, though.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Yeah, I needed a little light therapy in like February.
Like, God.
But yeah, funny. Sleep's weird, dude. People do weird things. Weird, but, man. I mean, that was a unique one. I mean, I've had people cut their own hair.
Yeah.
I've had people do all sorts of, you know, people get gum stuck in their hair or brush stuck and they cut it out or whatever. But, yeah, to sleep cut your hair is
yeah, it's odd. So I had this cool thing happen today. So this is the third time I've ever seen this. But so I had this girl that came in today. She had a baby on December 23rd. So today is what, March 4th or something like that?
Sounds right.
Yeah. So she had a baby, you know, a little over 2 months ago. And she came in. I had done her highlights back in November. So she had a band about, I would say, 2 inches of growth since the last time I highlighted her hair.
Okay, of new growth. So two inches of new growth and old highlights.
Yeah, so let's picture this. She's got roots that are 2 inches long and they're brown. And then blonde highlights after that and very heavily highlighted. But about, I'd say, a half inch to 3/4 inch of the new growth coming out of her scalp was a level 8. And then from then on out for about an inch was a level 6.5, 7, and it was much warmer.
So the 6.5, 7 was her normal natural color.
Well,
but the new growth was lighter.
The new growth was much lighter, but this is what's happened. So this is the third time I've seen this in a human being, like where about 2 to 3 weeks before and 2 to 3 weeks after they have a baby, their hair gets darker. So apparently, according to Google, at least, the body produces more melanin during that period of time.
Yeah, hormones are crazy.
Yeah, so the hormones are going crazy. The body produces more melanin. The hair gets warmer, for one thing, which is noticeable. And I can post pictures. I'll try to post a picture on the Humble Hairdressers page. So the hair gets darker and warmer, which are both signs of increased melanin in the hair, increased pigment production. You know?
So you feel like the new growth that you saw at her root today, the lighter one, is her actual...
That's her normal hair
color. That's her normal hair color. So that band of darkness is darker than her natural.
So the hair changed color before and after she had her baby.
That is wild.
Yeah, just for a short period of time. Now, this is, like I said, this is the third person I've seen this in. And it's, I only see it in people that have natural level 7 or 8 hair, you know, because it's hard to see in anybody else. Like, you're not going to notice a level change that, you know, in a level 5 or 6 like that. You know,
well, it's not going to be as obvious.
It's even nowhere to a near. Trained eye. Nowhere near. But I mean, I had these pictures, so I'll put them up to see, you know, what people say. But man, it's super interesting to me, you know. So like, I literally like sectioned it out. I took a bunch of pictures. I was showing two of the assistants at work, like, check this out. You got to see this. This is so cool. Like, I remember the first time I ever saw it was like 5 years ago. My client, this girl, Leslie, who was actually a client in Atlanta and then moved up here at the same time to Asheville. And so I've been doing her hair for a long time, but she was the first one I ever saw it happen in.
Yeah.
And I was blown away.
I feel like I've never seen it, and I wonder if I'm not paying enough attention.
Man, I think it's pretty obvious, honestly. So the next time you have somebody that has a baby, just look. Like, you will, I don't know if it happens with everyone. I mean, I've honestly had a lot of like clients that have had babies.
If it happened with everybody, it would be a normal conversation. Yeah. We wouldn't be talking about it now. It wouldn't be weird.
I mean,
to say.
Out of like 100 clients that have had babies, I've seen it 3 times, you know?
Right. So did you lift her hair today?
Yeah. Yeah. I highlighted right through it.
So did the new growth and then the dark band lift evenly, or was there
pretty good. Well, I lifted them to a 10, so everything was real clean.
But was there, I mean, because let's just pretend it's a normal color correction situation, which I guess if there was a difference in level there, there'd be some synthetic pigment in a color correction situation. Sure. But do you feel like you had even lift from root through the band? I guess you didn't
sit there
and watch
it. I feel pretty good just because like we did a pretty heavy lift on it. And I'll say this, that like if you weren't me or you or a professional, you wouldn't really notice that.
Well,
you know, because it's very subtle.
Yeah. But even with like, I feel like what would have been really cool is to open that foil every 3 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To see if they like, at, you know, like, did it take that darker band a minute to catch up, or did it just all
well,
of a sudden,
it wasn't
poof,
as easy to
dissolve.
See because I did it in a balayage too, though.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it was tougher to see. So, but it, man, it's so cool. I don't know why, but like it just, it gets me kind of excited. I like seeing stuff like that.
I mean,
it's really cool.
Out of the ordinary, like, yeah, it gets you thinking. It's a healthy thing. I guess I'm just surprised that you ended up with perfectly even lift.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
that's
it
like
great.
That's the scientific mystery of hair.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when people will like geek out at like, you know, how did you learn so much about hair? Or like, you know, they'll ask me about something specific and my go-to answer is the only thing I know about hair is that I'll never actually know everything about hair.
Yeah.
Because hair is so weird. Like there's always going to be a day where you see something like that where you're like, this is weird.
Yeah.
And then not only is that weird, but then it lifted cleanly through.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. I had one yesterday. She has ultra fine hair and she's a level 6, maybe even 6.5 ish. So she's not that dark, but like she, I foiled her with 20 volume and let it sit for an hour and 15 minutes to get to like, you know, a yellowy 9.5. You know,
for real.
Yeah. And that's how she always is. And she's told me that before. I've highlighted her
like
hair multiple
times.
You think
it'll just pop right through.
Very fine hair, like baby fine hair.
That's wild.
Like, and it's scary. You can't even put heat on it or anything like that because you know, you're going to break it, you know, if you do. So I just let it sit there and it, man, it just is so stubborn, which is against every law of color theory, basically, you know. I mean,
yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So there's this, have you ever heard of that, there's a writer, science fiction writer, Isaac Asimov?
Don't know.
So he's this old school guy from like the, I don't know, maybe 40s, 50s, 60s, something like that. Somebody's going to correct me on this, but that's fine. But he had a quote, and I'm going to paraphrase the quote, but it's like, the more and more I learn about less and less, or no, I keep learning more and more about less and less until eventually I'll know everything about nothing.
It's a pretty cool quote.
I feel like that's like what's happening in
life. Yeah.
You know,
that's it. Well, and then specifically about our industry, it's like, You can learn everything to understand that you're never going to know everything.
No. You know, and somebody could come in and they just moved to a new house and that house has an extremely high iron content in the water, and they never said anything to you. You didn't never talked about the fact that they moved, and all of a sudden you highlighted them, and that iron content in their hair had a bad reaction with your bleach. Yeah. You know, I mean, so I mean, we're talking about something, in my opinion, that is not in any way, shape, or form an exact science. Like the color companies, they can tell us all these different things, but there are a million variables.
Well, and like I'll say this for my whole career, theory is theory. Mm-hmm. And when we lean on theory, we're going to get manageable and predictable results. Mm-hmm. But I can never say with 100% certainty that it is going to happen. Like I told you today, like today for the first time in a long time, I prayed to the hair color gods.
We've all prayed to the hair color gods.
It's been a minute since I've prayed to the hair color gods. Mm-hmm. And I went outside and I took a moment to connect with them. Nice. And let them know that I needed some help.
How'd it go?
I don't even know how to describe it. All right, so here's the situation. I have a client with extremely coarse, naturally gray hair. Mm-hmm. And her hair has done some unpredictable things to me in the past. We've bleach and toned it, and it gets very big bird yellow. Mm-hmm. Like, we've done like purples, we've done all sorts of stuff.
So, is it like really grayish? Is it silverish?
Steely and silver.
Okay.
A lot of gray, a lot of silver, a lot of steel, and coarse, and just kind of gnarly. And I don't mean that in any negative sense, but like that kind of frizzy, angry, hard to polish hair.
Yeah, totally.
And she was like, you know, she came in today and she had this kind of like grown out like mauve color on her ends, and we're just talking about all these different things. And I was like, you know, what's your actual like hair fantasy? Like if your hair could be anything. She's like, I just want to be a really like clean platinum blonde.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, your hair's already silver, you know? So like when we bleach and toned her, it felt like I was doing too much work with not enough payoff. And she felt the same way. Hours of sitting there, tons of money spent, and she's like, it doesn't look that much different. So I was just like, one thing we've never done is permanent color. So I use my formula was half 10A, half 10V with 20 volume. And I went back and forth for like 5 minutes on whether I should use 20 or 30. Because I was worried about like getting enough deposit so that she wasn't just gray.
Yeah.
So I ended up going with 20 and putting some blonding cream ash in there. And I put that on her hair, capped her, and it was like the most platinum-y unicorn blonde
Dang.
I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so I have some gray coverage clients that I used to do like a 10N on, and it just felt like it wasn't covering the gray and was kind of weirdly yellow. So then I'd like drop them down to like a 9NN and 20 and then balayage them to like get some dimension. This, I'm gonna go back to this again.
Cool.
Like I'm going to do this again on other clients too. Like I don't know why I don't use permanent color at a 10, at a level 10.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it more often. I'm going to focus on control and I'm just going to let color do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, totally.
Cause it did work.
That's awesome.
I was pumped.
Yeah. So you did that on the roots or did you do that root to end?
I did that all over and she's she's shorter. Her hair's short, pixie cut. So it didn't affect the color on her ends obviously. And I also like, I had a good consultation with her.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't guarantee it's going to cover your gray. Color doesn't lift color. The color on your ends is going to be there through a miracle. Maybe it'll shift. The color on the ends didn't shift at all, but it was this really cool, really cool color with that little bit after I cut her and texturized her, just a little bit of that mauve through the ends.
Did you change the cut at all?
Yeah, I changed the cut a lot. I cut it shorter than we talked about, but I told her I was going to. It's not like it wasn't one of those situations where she's like, you cut all my hair off.
Yeah.
I was like, this color lifted so clean. I kind of want to get this old color off the end. So I want to go for it. And she was like, do your thing. I'm pumped.
Awesome.
But yeah, I don't know why I don't do that. And I'm going to go back to it. I'm going to challenge myself, whether it's in a foil, whether it's painted, whether it's on scalp. And I'm going to start using more level 10 permanent color for lifting. Nice.
Yeah, I like it. Get all that control at the same time. You didn't use a toner at all?
No toner. Didn't even need it.
Yeah.
And I was shitting bricks when Cassidy shampooed her out. And I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, it looks like it's going to be good. I don't want to overcorrect. Let's try it. And it was super pretty.
That's a tough place to be. You know what's a tougher place, man, is when you're like not shitting bricks and you're like, man, this color is going to be awesome. And then it comes out like shit.
Yeah,
that's the even worse, you know?
Yeah, or you know what? Like, you know what I've quit doing? And this conversation we probably should have had before now is committing to a toner before it's shampooed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I can't tell you how many times I've squeegeed a balayage or opened a foil and been like, oh, I know what to do. And then you shampoo them, and then you look at it. And I don't know. There's probably a technical answer to this, but I feel like sometimes yellow is like gets held in the lightener.
Yeah.
You know, like you open it up and it looks like it's a like buttercream level 10 and then you shampoo it out and it's actually doesn't have any yellow in it at all.
Yeah.
And then your highlights turn out drab because you overtoned.
Yeah.
So overtoning is like, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's problematic for sure.
And it just makes hair ugly from day one.
Yeah.
So now my whole thing is like shampoo and I don't even consider what I might glaze it with until it's been shampooed.
Yeah. I'm with you. I try to, you know, I mean, we both work with the assistants a lot. So one thing I try to tell them is like, we are going to pick the toner based on how the lift goes. Unless it's a client that I like just do their hair all the time. And I just, it's the same toner all the time.
Well, some people are predictable.
You know how it is. I mean, you got plenty of clients. I do at least that like I lift them to a very clean color and then I tone them with the same thing over and over and over. It's like the go-to toner. It's like Goldwell 10 cream, you know? It's it's the go-to. It's the gold standard of easy toners.
Well, if you're on a flash toner, you've done your pre-work properly.
Yeah, exactly.
Life is easy.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, you know, I try to preach to them, like, you never, ever pick your toner, really, until you understand where you're at. So you gotta figure out where you're at, you know? And, but I'm with you though. Like, it's going to look different a lot of times between the foil or the balayage. And then when you rinse it out, so you really got to get a feel for it. But, you know, I think like, I don't know, every other color, instructor on the planet, like you lift higher and you tone down. So if you're trying to cancel, if that's your goal, you want to cancel something out, you have to lift beyond where you want to be. So, and that's the number one rule, you know?
Yeah. Well, you want your, whatever you're depositing on to be the finished result.
Yeah. Well, you can't cancel on level. Like, so if you lift to a 9 and there's yellow and you want to cancel the yellow, you're not going to wind up at a 9. You have to go back down to an 8.
And even if in that situation, even if you tone it out and get it pretty, it's only going to be pretty for a little while.
Yeah.
Because that yellow still lives under there.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to have a pretty blonde unless you blast through it. Mm-hmm. Blast is a bold word. Lift through it.
Yeah.
You know, unless you get through it, you're not. And it's not going to age well.
No, not at all. So, it's crazy. I had that that girl today that had the baby, and she had that crazy band. She's an interesting case, man, because she came to me a while back. And she was a Rolodex foil. So she was like, you know, super as blonde could get.
And the million foil touch up.
Well, she hadn't had it done in probably more like 8 months when she came to see me. So she had like 6 to 8 inches of like level 7 brown hair and then like white blonde from then on out. Like super blonde.
I hate that.
Like hollow blonde. And I was like, damn. And she's like, I really want to be a balayage. I'm like, God. So it was a project. It was a project. I'm not going to go into the technical aspects of what that.
Well, did you low light her at all?
I had to,
You had to low light her. You have to put a new base in there.
Yeah, you have to build your peaks and valleys into that. And you have to bust that line. So it's like tiny sections. And a lot of work.
That's a lot of work.
But it was fun. And like she came back. And today she came back. I was like, gosh, your hair looks amazing. She's like, I know. It's come so far. Like it looks so natural. She had no gold in it before at all. Like it was just literally just like such a hollow blonde look. And like, man, she just needs a little bit of gold in her hair. And now she's this like beautiful golden blonde and it looks awesome. It looks so good, man. So,
well, and how often when somebody's not happy with their blonde, the answer is gold.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's scared of gold, and everybody, you have your clients with brass phobia. They don't want to see any warmth. Mm-hmm. Well, they say they don't want to see any warmth, but in reality, gold is the answer. Yeah. A pretty blonde has gold in it almost every time.
Absolutely. I think, it's that scarred, opened up brass that, and it has a different appearance. It has a different appearance than the gold we put in. The pigments we put in are different than that one. That has an orangey look to it, and even yellow, a really yellowy 10 sometimes does not look right. But then you take a 10G and you put it on top and you're like, oh, damn, that's pretty.
It's really pretty. Yeah, you don't always have to take the warmth out. Yeah. You just have to overlay it with something that's going to reflect the light better.
Yeah, I used to always tone in Wella with 1003, which is natural gold. So it's 65% natural and 35% gold. And it would kill the yellow and make it this really pretty beige color. It was crazy. That doesn't make sense.
Beige is one of those colors that's beautiful in hair, but nobody wants to hear it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Building beige in with golds and hair can make it beautiful, but you can never say beige to a client.
Yeah.
Nobody wants beige anything.
Yeah. It's funny to me though, how people love to use the word. I want caramel highlights. Have you seen what caramel looks like? It's like orange.
I don't want to talk about caramel. Yeah, I really,
I always say, no, why don't we try cinnamon?
Yeah. It's just one of those. It's one of those terms.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts. And let's also be real that caramel's level 7 and darker.
Yeah, totally. It really is.
Go buy a candy bar and look at it. You open a Werther's Original and tell me that that's a level 8. I'll break your nose. It's a lie.
I will break your nose.
It's a lie.
I like to pull out I like to just Google caramel and pull it up for clients that want caramel highlights. I'm like, so that's what you want? And they're like, oh God, no.
Yeah.
No, I don't want that.
So when they say that to me, I'm going to pull up that weird Werther's Original commercial from the 90s with the grandpa in front of the fireplace.
Yeah.
And perfect. The kid sits in his lap.
Yes.
And I'm just going to make it really awkward.
That's good. I like it.
Yeah. I'm going to YouTube that for my own pleasure tonight. And not in the sense that I said pleasure. You know what I'm saying?
I'm worried about that.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm going to put my cardigan on. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a wonderful experience.
You're going to drink some brandy. Yeah.
The wool is weirdly, pleasantly scratchy.
Oh, my goodness. Jesus. Oh,
that took a turn. Sorry.
It did. That was weird. It got weird for a second. Yeah,
everybody's good at something.
Yes, that's for sure. So we've got a couple other topics that I wanted to maybe touch on tonight. So I feel like after that, we got to go in some other different direction, though. we talked about a lot about just being professional at work, showing up on time, I guess that was what we're talking about. I don't even know how to go into that after that conversation, but anyway, so, I was when I show up at work, I'm always 15 minutes early.
Yeah. You're great about it.
Well, and I'll tell you, it's somewhat haunting because I might walk in 15 minutes early, but I've been in my truck for 15 minutes. Cause I'm just Emily at work, she's the same way. She and I both show up 30 minutes early and then walk in 15 minutes early.
Which I think is both the way of us, that it should be. I mean, for real.
Well, I have this thing about not being rushed in the morning. I don't want to be rushed. So, and I certainly don't want to walk in the building and somebody's in my chair. That's going to I'm going to lose my mind. You know what I mean? So, I've had that happen a few times where the girls up front put the client in my chair. I'm like, never, ever do that again.
Yeah, let them chill in the lounge.
Well, because I got to go through my station and make sure everything's good.
Well, yeah, you also need to just set your space up for the day.
Totally.
We get the nice printout each day.
Yeah.
It's regular printout piece of paper with our schedule. Mm-hmm. And I actually have a routine where I come in and I fold the paper in a certain way.
Nice.
I put it in my top drawer so that I can very casually, almost like I'm looking for a tool if I'm worried about what's happening, just open my drawer and peek in, and I know when my next appointment is.
Yeah.
If I get lost, you know, timing wise during the day. So I do not like to come to my station and have a client there.
No, no.
That being said, I've had this tumultuous relationship with mornings since I was started kindergarten.
Yeah.
You know, like I always feel rushed in the morning. I will stay in my bed until the last moment. But I do like, I mean, really, I feel like the standard should be you're at work 15 minutes before your first appointment.
Absolutely.
No matter what.
Yeah, no matter what.
You're late.
Yeah. And I mean, it's for a lot of different reasons, but I mean, mainly, and like I've said this at the work too, like if you guys like, and I'll say this to the staff, if you guys, if 10 o'clock is something that you can't be there 15 minutes early for, let's make your first client 10:15.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause like, I want to set you guys up for success. It's not that big of a deal. Like, the thing is you need to be in there ready to go. For me, I like to get in there, get everything set up. I mean, I might even pour a cup of coffee, chill out, take a breath, make sure everything's good. I got like my capes are stocked, my station is clean, my clippers are charged, my all of my brushes are clean, all of my combs are clean, everything's ready to rock. And then I'm like, all right, now I'll get started. You know what I mean? Like, so then I'm like, I feel like I've set myself up like for success, you know, I'm like ready to go. It's all going to work out
for sure.
You know what I hate? This is a pet peeve of mine. This is a huge pet peeve. Actually, I hate it when we have all company meetings in the morning and we go from 8 to 9 o'clock and then I have a 9 o'clock client.
Oh, that's the worst.
So this has always been my pet peeve. Like my last salon, I hated it more than anything because the my boss, and I'm going to call you out right now, my old boss, you know who you are, you would wrap up at 9:02 and we'd have 9 o'clock clients.
For you know? Real?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh, man, it drove me crazy. So like we'd all be rushing for dear life, you know, to get to our station, to put up our drinks, to move all the chairs back where they were.
Again, you have a whole ass day of hair to do.
Oh, yeah, totally. So it would drive me crazy. Gross. So, but that being said, now I try to wrap up the meetings like 10 minutes.
You do an incredible job. You really do. Like,
thank you.
Like, well, because I feel like staff meetings sometimes are almost like we dedicated this time, we have to fill it.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be let's fill the time. It's like, let's talk about everything. And hey, guess what? It's 8:43 and everybody break.
Yeah.
You know, so like yesterday we had a meeting and that happened. And so I had to take Oliver to school and drop him off. And I like I showed up to the meeting. I felt like shit, actually. I didn't feel like shit. I felt like shit for showing up to the meeting the way I did. Cause I was wearing like joggers and a hoodie, you know, but it was like, I had to get up and get Oliver to school. And I knew that I didn't start with clients until 11.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to show up and do my thing. And then I went back home, took a shower, changed, got ready for work. But then I still got to work like weirdly early because I was up and at 'em, you know? So I got to work at like 10:15. My first client was at like 11 and she showed up at like 10:50. And I was there and I was already set up and I started my day 10 minutes early for like the first time maybe ever.
Yeah.
And man, my day was like clockwork. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it's cool.
It really was. It was a different experience.
Yeah, it's great.
Only,
it is.
Only to be offset with my first client today being 10 minutes late.
Yeah. Hold on. No. No, you told me. Why was she late?
Because she was laughing.
Hold on. I mean, we've talked about this before. Like, we talked about this earlier, and we couldn't even stop laughing about it. So she literally shows up late, and she says she was laughing.
Well, she walked in the door and said, it wasn't even like her. She walked in the door, and she said, I'm sorry that I'm late. I've been laughing. And I was like, who doesn't want to laugh? Come on, let's get at it. Like, I couldn't even be mad at her. And also, she's retired and, you know, like,
maybe a good laugh is hard to be had right now, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, seriously, like, when is it a bad thing? Like, like if somebody's going to be late because something else was more important or they're being disrespectful of my time, that's upsetting. But if somebody was late because they were having a moment of fucking pure joy... I'm not mad at
that. And you imagine though, like she's gotten ready to go and then she remembers something funny. So yeah. She just sits there in her kitchen laughing for so long and she can't leave the house.
Yeah. And she was, and that was literally what happened. They her friend had a birthday party the previous night, a Zoom call for her 86-year-old friend. And she had such a good time on that Zoom call and was laughing so hard. When she woke up, she was like reminiscing of the previous night's Zoom call and was laughing, thinking about it, and forgot what time it was. It was unbelievable.
That's awesome.
Like, I'm just like, perfect time to be honest. That's awesome. I love it.
I love that too. That's great. I don't think I've had a really good, any really good excuses for people being late lately.
Well, that's my excuse from now on.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
Sorry I was late. I was laughing.
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
Man, you know, it's funny, man. Like, I don't really have a lot of people showing up late. Like, I just don't. I don't know. I'm kind of a stickler, though. If you're going to show up late, I'll reschedule you. You know what I mean?
Like, well, I think, and we talked about this on one of our other podcasts. I mean, it's really like, it's up to us as stylists to command the space behind your chair. Yeah. We set the flow. We set the vibe. And if it's just like, you know, like you grew up and going to school, you had teachers that you knew you could push and teachers that you knew you couldn't fuck with at all.
Yeah.
So if you set the standard of like, you need to be on time.
Yeah.
Honestly, people for the most part are going to be on time. If you tell them it's okay, it's not like they're being disrespectful per se of your time, but they know that it's okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, once you do that, set that standard, people are going to show up on time.
Yeah.
To me, like, and I don't want to say I'm okay with people being late, but I think we did have a whole convo about when do you call? When do you reschedule?
Yeah.
And for me, I'm like, I want people to be on time, but I'm only going to give them their time.
Yeah.
If they want to be late, she was 10 minutes late and I still finished her at the end of that time. And she would have gotten a longer shampoo. She would have gotten, you know, some extra things. But she was late because she was laughing. So she used her time laughing instead of getting a long shampoo. Yeah, you know, and like, whatever. Yeah.
Laughed your way out of a finish.
Yeah, exactly. Laughed
your way out of a decent blow dry.
I would have smoothed her fringe out more, but I didn't have time because she was laughing.
Tough shit laugher.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still not mad about it.
Yeah,
I'm
just not. That's great.
Great.
Yeah, you know, the whole like showing up on time thing, it's kind of crazy because we all run late too, you know? So like there's this double-edged sword where like we get mad at somebody for running late and then the next time they show up, they wait for 30 minutes to get their hair cut, you know?
Yeah, so, no, I feel like I'm forever apologizing to people.
Yeah, no. So it's like it is a double-edged sword. I mean, like I think for me and you, we're in a bit of a different situation because we work with assistants a lot. That like we can manage time a little bit better than somebody that's working by themselves all the time. You know what I mean? So like I think both of us kind of have a different relationship with our clients too. Cause like I'll literally have a guy show up 30 minutes late and I will give him shit about it and tell him I'm only going to do half of his haircut. And we'll laugh and I'll just give him shit and I'll give him the same great haircut he always gets, you know, and he goes on his way, you know, but like we laugh about it, you know what I mean? And like other hairstylists are probably a little bit different there.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. Like there's a guy that comes to me and we years ago came to this agreement that either of us could be 10 minutes late and the other won't get mad about it.
Yeah.
Cause he shows up late. I'm running late. And it's happened a million times, but at the end of the appointment, he has the cut he needs and I get what I need out of it. And it's like, it's okay. So like, to me, it's like it's communication.
Yeah.
You know, totally. It's always communication and just talking to people. And like, I feel like people are so good to us and so flexible with us.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell you the last time that I asked the front of house to call somebody and let them know I'm running 15 minutes late. Mm-hmm. And they came back and were like, the person's pissed. They're always like, they're okay.
Yeah.
Then the first thing I have to say when I walk up is, hey, thank you for your flexibility today.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that you were able, like, I hope you got to do something productive.
Yeah.
And half the time they're like, yeah, I ran another errand. Thanks for letting me know. Because if they have to sit there and wait, that's something to get pissed off about, you know? But like, if they get a heads up, then everybody's happy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. A few minutes here and there. Not a big deal. 45 minutes on a hair color, though. That's kind of like tricky right
there. Well, logistically, there's just not enough time to... And color is literally a whole different thing.
It's a whole different thing, like, man. Yeah. It's, you got processing time. You got all kinds of other things, man. So like
even mixing. Yeah. I mean, you have processing. You have a thought processing. Mm-hmm. You have to figure out what to do, mixing time, application time, processing time, and finishing time.
Yeah.
Haircut, you can fudge the fuck out of.
Yeah.
Oh, time-wise. You know, yeah. You can skip a shampoo, skip a finish. You know, yeah. There's a million things. Color, sometimes you're like, that's it.
Yeah.
I have to have time to do that, and we don't have it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if it's at the end of the day and like you got to leave and go pick up your son, or I got to go pick up my stepdaughter, whatever, yeah. You know, I mean, like there's no, like, I don't have any like,
leniency.
There's no leniency. Yeah. There. Like I cannot bend on that time.
In the beginning of the day too. That's, yeah. That's like the bookends of the day. Yeah. If you're first or last, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I can't be as flexible with you, because if the first one's late, it throws the whole day off.
Yep. So, you know what I tell my friends is that, like, you want to hang out, let's go get a beer or whatever after book my last client of the day, like book for that time period, you know? But if you really want the best out of your hairstylist, do not book their last appointment on Saturday.
No.
That's the worst mistake that you could make.
Yeah, the caboose appointment of the week.
You're going to get the most tired, worked out hairstylist that you could possibly get.
I agree.
So don't do it. Do you want the best possible thing? Like, book Tuesday morning, you know?
Well, I would disagree with that, too.
Oh, really?
Because Tuesday morning, which is our Monday.
Yeah.
I'm not ready yet.
you need Jordan's second appointment. Yeah,
like
Tuesday.
Well, I'm still like decompressing from my time off. Like,
that's true.
To me, the sweet spot is Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah. Okay.
And like, I don't want to say that Tuesday and Friday, you know, like, but if you want the best Jordan,
yeah,
I'm gonna say it's 3:30 on Wednesday.
Not to be specific
or anything.
If you want to get stroke 86,
shout out stroke 86.
Stroke 86.
Yeah, yeah.
You're gonna get 3:30 on a Wednesday.
Lolly lolly.
Yeah, lolly lolly. What's up, girl?
But for real, like, yeah. So Tuesday morning too, I'm like a little rough because I'm like coming off my weekend. I have to like get in that workflow.
Yeah, you do need a little bit of like.
So the end of Tuesday is good, and the first half of Wednesday is great. Second half of Wednesday, I'm ragged out. All day Thursday, I'm solid.
Thursdays are good. I think Thursday is like I'm finding my groove on Thursdays for sure.
Yeah. So,
well, like what a lot of people don't realize is we actually don't work on Saturdays. We're like one of the few hairstylists.
Yeah,
in the
literally
world
work 4 days a week.
We work. Well, yeah, but like we just don't work Saturdays. I kind of work four and a half.
Because you work Mondays.
I do work Mondays, but now I don't work Wednesdays. I don't take clients on Wednesdays, so I work Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. But I do all the office stuff on Wednesday. So, but I don't work Saturdays, man.
Like, well, we have a unique thing, too, where, like, literally the salon's just not busy on Saturday, which is weird because it's a tourist town.
We're in a tourist town, so, like, the weekends are a little bit different for us. It's a little bit backwards.
Well, and since COVID, too, there's not events. So Saturdays were at least like for weddings, you know, and things like that. But traditionally, I think that Saturdays have been a huge day for salons. And for us, Saturday's just not been a big day.
No.
Like it's not, and I don't want to sound like a douche, but it's not been worth my time to work on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. I'd rather double book and pack people in and then take that day off.
Well, the thing for us is, and I think what's obvious for us is that like we can stay just as busy working just during the week and filling up 5 days if we want to of business and never have to worry about Saturday. But you know, as the salon, like we're trying to build up the Saturday business in the salon. We're trying to add more stylists there just to fill in that gap too. So, I mean, I think the business is there, but like, we're just lucky enough not to have to do it.
It's just like, sounds like when you say it out loud, it sounds like a funny concept because
I know.
Like when I started doing hair, Saturday was always my biggest day.
Oh, yeah.
It was all salons. People wanted to come in on Saturday.
Saturday's brutal, man. Working 8 to 5 or 8 to 6.
Yeah, and you wanted to party on Friday or like go out or do whatever.
Nope.
But it was like,
now, don't fall for that.
But yeah, now I think with the way that culture has shifted, people are not working a traditional 9 to 5.
Yeah.
People are flexible with they're working from home, you know, and this shift started pre-COVID, and then COVID is like driven it home where everybody has all this flexibility, and Saturdays now for people, they don't want to have to go to the salon. They don't want to have to, like,
you know, I think you're right with that, but I do think, you know, we're getting older and so are our clients, and like, we don't want to go to the salon on Saturday. Neither do our clients.
Yeah, you know what true.
I mean? So that's kind of the thing. I think like the 22-year-olds, 25-year-olds, they don't care. They'll come in.
Yeah, salon. But you have to think too. Like when I was 25 and doing hair, the 25-year-olds were either going to school all week or working all week and had to wait until Saturday to get their hair done.
It's true.
And now culture's shifted. Yeah. They don't have to wait till Saturday anymore.
No,
they can sit there and bang away at a keyboard.
Yeah.
While they're getting their hair done.
Literally be in class while they're getting their hair done.
On Thursday in my sweet spot.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah. Seriously.
Instead of on Saturday. And then on Saturday, they can go on a hike or they can go to a brewery or they can go do whatever they want. And they don't have to, I'm air quoting, waste their time sitting at the salon on a day when they could be going and having fun.
Yeah. Totally.
Because they can be productive while they're getting their hair done.
Yeah. Yeah. Times are changing.
Sure are.
They really are, man.
And they always will. We talked about that earlier. Always empires will. Fall, dynasties fail.
That's
things
true.
Will always change.
They'll always change. I mean, no matter what. Like, dude, have you had any clients asking you about the whole side part bashing thing lately?
A little bit, yeah. The whole
dude, like, I've had
the whole Gen Z.
At least five clients that are like, what the fuck is going on with this whole side part, center part thing? And I'm like, so my client who's like late 60s, she asked me, she's like, what? I can't wear a side part anymore? I was like, okay, hold on. Let me ask you this.
You're 60. It
doesn't matter. Want to take advice from somebody that's wearing a crop top and telling you to wear the crop top?
Yeah.
She's like, no.
Dude, that's a really good
I was
point.
Like, why the fuck are you going to do the same hairstyle? It makes no sense at all. Like, don't do that. I was like, how many pixie cuts are parted down the middle? She's like, none. I'm like, I mean, come on. It's just some Gen Z's online trying to be cute, whatever. You know,
they're just trying to dig it. Like, what's the ugliest thing you could do that was popular 20 years ago?
Yeah.
That's what drives current fashion. And that's what's always driven current fashion, literally. You know, like, I saw a post today about 1999 kids in their JNCOs and visors.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit, that's going to get popular again.
Yeah, man. And,
I mean, it's just, that's the way that it is. Like, fashion is cylindrical.
Mm-hmm.
These things loop back around. And when I see, like, a cute young 19-year-old girl in, like, a boxy, oversized sweater and high-waisted mom jeans and, like, some beat-up Keds, it's like, I know you think you're doing something edgy, but you look like my friend Chris's mom from when I was 9. Like, yeah, that's totally. What you're doing. Like,
yeah, but it's the same. It. Yeah, it's but, the same thing.
Yeah, in over the 90s, and over and over. Yeah. To, like, the JNCO kids. Like, I was a JNCO kid in the 90s.
Yeah,
wearing the
me
giant
too,
jeans.
Man. I wore 8-balls.
Yeah, nice, dude. Yeah. I loved kickwears, too. That was my other shit.
Totally.
But it was, like, that was just the reincarnation of the bell-bottoms. Mm-hmm. And it was because bell-bottoms were out of fashion. Yeah. And then skinny jeans took over, and then grunge kicked in, and it's like, what do you do? Yeah. Well, let's go back to what's the oldest, ugliest thing? Bell bottoms.
Yeah.
Let's reinvent them.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, the whole, like, I have been asked about the center part, and I've also been a big advocate of the center part.
Yeah.
Like, I've been rocking it.
Yeah.
And not because it's fashionable, because I don't know why, just because I like it, I guess, but.
Well, we've been talking about the center part bowl cut for 5 years now. We've been talking about this. Literally been on record, both of us saying center part bowl cut is coming back. And it's fucking coming back, man.
Yeah.
It is. Like, y'all with your cute mullets and shags, watch out, man, because the center part bowl cut's coming.
Yeah, weight lines and precision.
Yeah, exactly.
And the most least flattering spot is what's going to come back.
But that's what we want, man. Like, I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be flattering, though. Like, I do.
Well,
I think it's going to be cool.
It's going to be paired up with other things.
It's going to be better than the Leonardo DiCaprio.
Watch your ass, because that's what I'm rocking right now. I'm rocking the Titanic.
Yeah, not for long, dude. But soon you're going to be rocking the new wave.
That's true.
Yeah. Hold on. What did we call it? The new wave mullet?
I don't remember. Yeah. Man, that was like
new wave Fibonacci mullet.
Oh, that was yeah. Right. Oh, man. We did have a name for it.
Yeah, we did.
Fibmullet.
Fibmullet.
Fibullet.
Yeah. I don't know.
Fibmullet.
Fibmullet.
Well, you know what we could do?
We're going to come up with a name.
We could, or we could just re-listen to the beginning of this because we came up with it already.
Yeah, maybe.
Now we're a couple beers in yeah. And we forgot.
Yeah.
But oops. It was there. Yeah, it just yeah,
it was there.
Slide the thing all the way to the left and re-listen yeah. To the beginning because we
all get it and then slide back and pick up. I think we're like an hour, 9 minutes in right now. So,
well, and while you're sliding that, slide into our DMs and hit us with your thoughts and questions, sure. Concerns. Hit us up with whatever, like. What's,
yeah.
What's going on with you guys? What questions do you have?
What do you guys want to know? Because we're, you know, pretty much masters of most things. Just kidding.
Yeah, meaning nothing.
Don't ask us anything. Any questions like that. Just like, what do you guys want us to talk about? What do you guys want us to cover? We're always down.
Yeah.
Having fun. Next time, we're going to have another special guest. My buddy Steven's coming on. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going
to
give any more clues, but my boy, he's what I consider the most important person in my hairstyling career.
That's a bold statement.
It's a bold statement, but he's a big deal. Dude. He's a big deal. So he's coming on next episode. We got some more people lined up. It's going to be super fun. I'm excited.
Yeah. Stoked, dude. Me too.
All right, buddy. We'll see you next week.
Rock and roll.
Later.